This is Susan B. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, and I'm speaking with John Cleary, the New Orleans-based British funk and R&B singer, songwriter, and virtuosic pianist. He's coming to town to perform at the 36th Annual Telluride Jazz Celebration. His music will be part of Paul Machado's lineup for New Orleans Tribute Day, which is Sunday. John, thanks for joining me.
Thanks very much for having me.
So let's go way back. Do you come from a musical family which would make you genetically predisposed to your current profession, or are you an anomaly?
Am I an anomaly? I don't know. I think some people are lucky to be born with a brain that's hardwired for processing musical information. And then if you grow up in an environment that nurtures that, then it'll be strange if you didn't come out ultimately being a musician. So, yeah, nature and nurture, I think, two of them both combined.
Okay. How did it happen that your family crossed the pond and settled in New Orleans?
Well, my family didn't. I had an uncle that lived in New Orleans on a couple of occasions in the late 60s and early 70s. But my family all in England. I left home and moved to New Orleans after I left school because I wanted to hear the music firsthand. And just stayed. That was 32 years ago.
Wow. Do you have any formal training as a pianist or as a vocalist?
No, I don't. No, it would be good for me to have guitar lessons when I was about 11, but I'd already been playing for 6 years at that point. I learned nothing. In fact, I would show the guitar teacher some stuff that he couldn't play, some blues licks. He wanted to learn some blues stuff. And then I had a couple of piano lessons when I was about 13, but I would pretend I would memorize the stuff and pretend I was reading it off of the paper, and then I got busted when I carried on playing, even though I hadn't turned the page onto the next section. So that really wasn't, he couldn't teach me anything that I wanted to learn. I mean, I regret not being a better music student. I used to get thrown out at music lessons for being disruptive, but it's because I found them boring. I knew what I'd already could play, and I knew what I wanted to learn, but they couldn't help me with any of that stuff. I think I just left England and went to the States.
Okay. Was there one seminal moment that determined your career path, or has it evolved organically?
Well, there are several. When you look back, there are several moments that push you in those directions. There's never been any doubt in my mind that I was going to be a musician. At one point, they wanted me to pursue a career in art. I went to art college and was good at that. That's not surprising because I think the two things go hand in hand. But there are a few moments I can remember hearing. Just as a little kid hearing my dad or my uncles playing at home and just wanting to join in. I thought that's what all grown-ups did. I thought every grown-up played a musical instrument because they did in my family. It was only when I went to play with other kids from school and nobody in their families played. I thought that was really strange. So when I was little, they used to let me, they'd have parties at home, and I'd always be woken up by the music, and they would let me stay up if I sang a couple of verses of Jesse James. So I realized at the age of about 4 that there were some perks to be had if you could sing a song. So I think maybe that was the turning point right there.
At the age of 4. Okay.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. 3 or 4. Yeah.
Terrific. So your latest release is one you'll be showcasing at the Telluride Jazz Celebration. It's called O Cappella. And would you please talk about that, and especially in terms of your relationship with Alan Toussaint, who actually was here last year for the Telluride Jazz Celebration, and I had the pleasure of interviewing him last year. He's a delightful man. So please talk about that relationship and O Cappella.
Well, New Orleans has produced a great deal of music in its history, but arguably you can pin it, those periods where it's been most productive, down to the efforts of a handful of people who not only could play, but they knew how to make a record. Aunt Hussein could take raw talent from the streets and guide it through the whole process to the point where you ended up with a piece of plastic in your hands that you could put on a record player anywhere in the world. And that's a lot. That's a very difficult thing to do. Arranging, composing, performing in the studio, corralling all the, like, you know, most people who've been down in New Orleans know that organizing New Orleans musicians is a bit like herding cats. It's like the New Orleans is kind of anarchic, but it's very nature. That's what, one of the things that makes the music so compelling. But it's resists anyone coming in to try and organize it.
Yeah.
So for him to have made those records is quite an achievement. And I heard various aspects of his work over the years, and several different aspects of what he had done really appealed to me, I think. And this is a logical record to have made. It's not really a tribute to Alan Toussaint. He didn't really need anyone paying tribute to him. Really just stands up for itself. And as I said on the, I think early on, I wanted the title to be simply Having Fun with the Songs of Alan Toussaint. And that's what it was, really. I have a studio at home. I put a time aside just to allow myself the indulgence and fun of taking some of his songs that I like and disassembling them and then reconstructing them using my skill set. And that's what it is. It's an album of reconstructed Alan Toussaint tunes. And I've been lucky enough to tour with him and co-bill with him over the last few years. And I've been a big fan of his for a long, long, long time. And that's what I want to be when I grow up.
I don't blame you. He's absolutely charming. When he was here last year, he performed with Rita Coolidge. It was quite a set.
Oh, wow.
So have you performed in Telluride before, or is this your first trip to town?
You know, I think I have. But I've done so many tours and so many gigs that in combination with my terrible memory leaves me completely blank with that question. I'm sure I have played in Telluride, but I can't remember when.
Okay, fair enough.
Quite honestly,
okay.
It all turns into a blur. I've been touring for years and years and years, and it just turns into a bit of a blur after a while.
I know I
have played in Telluride, but I can't quite remember when it was.
So then what are you looking forward to most about coming this year?
And I'm most looking forward to the opportunity to play with the rhythm section that I have with me this year, which is James Singleton and David Dakovich, who have been two of my favorite musicians for many, many, many years. And it's always a pleasure to play with guys like that who are inspired musicians. Some musicians are functioning, capable, and dependable. Some go a stage further where they just compose and make up and have a musical spark. And each of these guys can give off sparks that really thrill me as a performer. So, and I think we feed off each other. We're kind of a mutual admiration society, the three of us, I think. Of course, from my point of view as a piano player, it's lovely to get to play with the guys who play with, you know, Professor Longhair and James Booker, who are two of my favorite New Orleans pianists.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much. This has been Susan B. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with John Cleary, who'll be performing at the upcoming Telluride Jazz Celebration on New Orleans Tribute Day. That is Sunday, August 5th, I believe. Thank you very much for joining me, and I know you've been on a long tour, so welcome home.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's good to be back. I'm looking forward to the next leg. Thank you.
Thank you.